phenomenal. Yeah. But they carried them around the fashion castle and right around the corn stack and the straw stack for about 11 to the time or something like that. But I don't think there's much got out of that on your bad back or bad leg or something or bad heart. But they used to do it, 18 stone a week. But we used to have to carry them up the granary stairs, of course, roughly about 20 stairs. In along the granary, the other end, which is another 15 yards or 20 yards, and shoot it. We used to have it undone and shoot it when we got to the other end. Shoot it on the heat.
In Lackfield, near where I live, they used to have races up and down the village street with a coon sack of
yeah, well,
and a boy on top.
Yes, well, I've never done that. I've carried him out the granary stairs, but I was glad to let him jump off on top of a comma corn. But a comma weight was 18.
Was it a knack or were they really strong?
Oh, it was a knack.
No, yeah. There's nothing easy on this walking in Kenya another day.
Much easier to carry him up than it was down.
Yes.
Much easier to go up than it was down.
I know when I walk around my heavy land like in the wet time, my feet are human about three times the size, Hector. How did the chap get on walking up a furrow in a wet time plowing?
Well, a lot of them used to oil the boots, so I didn't hang on. I mean, we wouldn't do that today, do we?
Well, the rubber boots, that's really all you wouldn't do there long.
Plastic and what have you, that stick to it like an extra blanket, don't it? Of course, on your heavy land, yeah, they always reckon they're men on heavy land. Yeah. And us boys on the light land. Yeah. I quite think that's right.
Because we say that ain't heavy land, eh? Because that ain't heavy enough to fall off your boots.
Oh, no, there is that about it.
I heard it's called loving land because it hugs you so well.
But on our land, we like shower of rain every week.
And the shower of
rain. Yeah. I knew you said something else.
What are your customs? Just reading Hugh Barrett's book, Early to Rise, which is your part of the world, and the time when he was shod, the boy was shod, the first time he went to do something, they all picked him up until they were sore.
And also, he had firefighter beer for everybody as well.
That's it, yes. What was that?
Well, I'm doing it pretty quick. They used to do that, didn't they, at one time?
Yeah.
Probably more before my time, a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
What did they do? Yeah. Tell us what exactly happened, can you?
Hector probably know more about it than I try. They used to drive a nail through the sole of the boat, you see.
He did foot?
Yeah, till he shouted beer, and as soon as he shouted beer, they left off. He got to buy the beer then.
So what you were telling me, coming here tonight, you drank the same amount too?
Oh, yes, so weaned on beer.
Yeah. Well, because it was cheap.
Yeah, well, that was as today's prices are, but of course we know wages weren't nothing then, but we still found money to buy beer because there wasn't nothing to spend it on us. There wasn't all these glossy magazines and picture shops and
barbecues
and bingos. And,
what did a pint of beer cost in your young days?
Well, we used to... about fourpence or fivepence a pint. When we had a colt come in to be shod the first time, we'd never pick the foot up till they brought a gallon of beer. And they either brought a gallon of beer or half a crown. That was half a crown a gallon.
Yeah. And was that because it was a dangerous work that you wanted to be, full of beer before you do it?
Well, I don't know. I suppose that is a tradition. So we drank a lot of beer. In that little shop where I am now, we used to have, I always keep a 4.5 cask under the bench, and I'm that was there for anybody to go at.
That was unbrewed?
Unbrewed, yeah. The early part of the time, then the late part of the time, well, that was bought. But, we'd have a gallon for every colt we shot. On some days, you'd probably get three.
Good time come night time.
Yeah. I only ever shod one, which I didn't remember doing. Did you remember the charge for it? I remember that.
The farm worker, Arthur, is much more solitary figure, isn't he, than a man in a factory. Have you come to terms with nature or himself?
Oh, yeah. Very
how does he manage it?
Very much so, I think. I think a lot of people today... no disrespect to them. I mean, if you're born on a farm and brought up on a farm, you're brought up to the nature. But a lot of people, they just get up a little bit of breakfast, and I got to get to the office or somewhere to work. And I'm sure if you stopped half of them and said, "Now, are the leaves on the trees?" I'm sure they wouldn't know whether the leaves are on the trees or whether they weren't. Mm. But out in the country, we've got, well, not quite as much time as we used to years ago.
No, there's still time.
There is time to see the countryside.
Yeah.
And I think people, most people, city people as well, are craving now to get back to nature.
I could ask you that.
I think they're craving to get back and being on horses from Hector. Mm. They come and see your basket market. Yeah. And our old steam engines that we knocked up and shouldn't have done, they crave to go and see them there, wherever they are. Yeah. So I think they're trying to get back to it. I think they've gone too far the other way.
That's a natural way of life.
There's more an awareness and appreciation of skilled work, craftsmanship, than there was at one time.
We found out the latter part of the time.
People used to come
that were very interested in seeing the natural way.
Somebody working with their hands, for instance. Because isn't the problem that it's never rewarded enough?
Well, you don't get reward not in money, not always. You get that in satisfaction and pride in your work and that kind of thing.
But Hector, are we coming to the stage now when there's so few blacksmiths about, you know, that you can always charge what you want to?
You could, but I mean, anybody living in the country like we are and brought up in the country, I mean, you haven't got that at the back of your mind, have you? Probably somebody starting and or just finishing an apprenticeship now would have that in mind because he's had a different education. I mean, we were never educated to treat anybody like that. You ask a fair price for what you're doing, and that was that, wasn't it? I mean, you never intended to rob anybody. That isn't a case of demanding any price. That's a case of doing the best you possibly can. I've never done a job yet which I've been satisfied with, but you still keep trying. Charge a fair price, knowing perfectly well that you haven't got to sleep that night, knowing you haven't robbed anybody.
The job's well done.
Yeah.
Very great satisfaction.
Yeah, tremendous satisfaction.
Probably, as I say in Suffolk, we've been old fools, boys.
Yeah,
been an old field along.
Is all this education we're giving now, which is costing us an absolute bomb in this country, is it producing people who are interested at all in working with their hands?
I think that's quite a proportion of the youngsters today. Have got the ability and they'd like to do it. A big proportion of them. I think to a certain extent, certain trades, but I'm afraid I've had 2 or 3 come up to see the horses.
Yeah.
2 months, 3 months, they're gone.
Soon
as they start to get the shoulder blades together, well, you should be able to crack a warrant in between your shoulder blades. You know, you're in some hard work then. they're missing. No, I think education probably have taken some away from the hard
job.
But then, on the other hand, probably a little different on the farm, the variety of work that they get probably stop. We get the odd one or two who, or may say no good, or don't wish to stay, but they do get a variety on the farm. They go with pigs or cattle or cows. A lot of them like to get on the track.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether they'd be quite so keen if they had to swing the old standard fortune like we did.
No,
but I think a lot of them like to get out on the farm and start on the farm work.
Yes, I think you're a lot more likely to get youngsters into the farm and more than you are into our trade.
Yeah.
You can get them in the other side of the business. Okay. No trouble to get apprentices there.
Engineering side.
Oh no, no trouble at all. It's all work, isn't it? From the shoeing angle, that's practically an impact. Well, there again, if you get anybody, you can't hardly afford to put them on as apprentice.
Well, fun thing, because the tradesman's got to waste his time, really.
And your overheads and what have you.
That's it, guys.
You haven't got an apprentice blacksmith?
No. An apprentice farrier would cost, your turnover would be down 3,500 a year if you put one on. I mean, that wouldn't cost you that, but your turnover, loss of earnings, the time you spend with him, his wages, stamps, holidays, college. You can say your turnover is down 3,500 a year.
I'm thinking of anybody who's listening who's got a son who wants to be would be interested in being a blacksmith. How did he go about it?
He just can't. Well, because the tradesmen can't afford to take them, that's the problem.
Well, the drawback is every time.
And there's been so many arguments put forward, and they're barking up the wrong tree.
They're not practical, I'm not
going to tell them at all. No. If you can find a panel of men, qualified tradesmen, are capable of trying an apprentice, if they were paid by British Horse Society, people like that, the Rice Levy Betting Board, people like that, if they say we'll train 10 every year and we'll pay the master man £10 a week to take them, get apprentices. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid you're not going to get
them. You just can't afford to. The tradesmen can't afford to wait.
Arthur, let's go across to you a minute. What about you getting young people?
Plenty of them. Yeah.
Even though you're so near to Ipswich.
Yeah. Yes, I think they're crazy to get out. They don't want factories. No.
Do you find that people go off the farms and come back again?
I don't think we get them going. I think that they're quite keen. And the surprising thing I think about it is that we were brought up to it right from youngsters and grown up to it. But I think some of these youngsters who are parents and nothing to do with agriculture, they are very keen and they soon pick things up. And some of them want to ask them questions, why do we do this and why do we do that? And sometimes that's tradition, what we've done for
years. Yeah, we had every school holiday, that workshop full of young people.
Yes.
Yeah, there's maybe what, two every.
Well, we have busloads around, two round a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, it's marvellous how they like to say it. As I say, it's coming back to nature again.
Yes, I'm only interested because Hugh Watt, who I had as a guest.